Now, Mr. Adams said quite frankly that he had examined all religions, right? He said, I've examined all religions, and the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. Okay, he examined all the religions. He spent a lot of his life examining philosophies and religions. And it came to a point when he says, no, I have a conclusion here. And then he announced that conclusion that he come to after examining all his religions. And what was that conclusion? Well, I'm not saying he ever became a genuine Christian, a genuine believer, but he did come to the conclusion, according to his own testimony, that, quote, Christian religion is above all. Christian religion is above all the other religions in the world with regards to wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. He also came to the conclusion that the Christian Bible, not the Hindu Shasta, is the best book in the world. All right? Moreover, he stated very clearly that if a nation were to take the Bible for their only law book, not Aristotle, not Plato, not nature or reason, but the Bible as their only law book, and if every member of such a nation would regulate his conduct by the precepts of the Bible, not Aristotle, okay, not nature, then that nation would be a paradise. So who's misrepresenting who here by taking selective clips, selective quotes, to present a false picture? I don't know if Mr. Barton is running around saying that John Adams was a true Christian. If he was, he's wrong. But neither is Mr. Pinto right the way he presents it. He spins it just as bad, if not worse, the other direction. Okay, here's a man who said, after searching all the religions, he found the Christian religion was the best. And the Bible was the best book. You can't get any clearer than that. All right? Yet Mr. Pinto is mixing all these quotes up in his video, so you don't know what John Adams actually believed ever. But there's a clear linear thing there. He spent a certain portion of his life looking and searching, and at the, near the end, he came to the conclusion the Bible was the best book, the Christian religion was the best religion. Now, that's not what you get from his video. What you get from his video was John Adams was an infidel who basically hated Christianity and thought all religions were the same, and even Hinduism was better, and the Shasta was better than the Bible. That's a lie. That guy is deliberately lying. In that clip there was several historical truths that were misrepresented. First of all, when describing John Adams, he said, quote, while it does not appear that Adams was a member of any... See, in this video, he's trying to prove that every one of these five guys were members of a secret society, the Illuminati, the Masons, or something else, and all these societies were evil. As a matter of fact, Benjamin Franklin... he talks about Benjamin Franklin. One place he says Benjamin Franklin was part of a secret society called the Hellfire Club. And the Hellfire Club was a satanic cult that did rape, ritual murder, and had sexual orgies and all kinds of stuff. I mean, this guy is so evil. He is just promoting and imputing the most wicked kind of evil to men who were promoting Christian foundations and Christian principles of our nation. You can't imagine how evil this Mr. Pinto is. He is possessed with a demon. An angel of light. He thinks it's the truth. That he can say that about Benjamin Franklin. He says, it does not appear that Adams was a member of any secret group. He can't prove that Adams was a member of the Masons or the Illuminati or Hellfire Club or any of these groups. So he casts doubt on it. He doesn't say, there is no evidence that Adams was ever part of a member. He says, while it does not appear that Adams was not part of any of these groups. See? That leaves you with a question in your mind, whether Adams actually was, and just no record of it. You know, this is what when Revelation says the beast, the first beast comes out of the sea, it's a political beast. The second beast comes out of the land, and has two horns like a lamb, and it talks as a dragon. That doesn't mean it has fire coming out of its mouth. It's cursing and screaming and profanities. That means it's like the serpent in the garden. It's so subtle and deceptive. It would trick everybody except the elect, the very elect. And that's the kind of tongue this punk has. And instead of saying, there's no evidence that Mr. Adams was ever part of any secret society, he says, oh, wow, it does not appear that Mr. Adams is ever a secret society, okay? That's the tongue of a serpent, people. That's the way a serpent talks. So he says, while it does not appear that Adams was a member of a secret group, he was a Unitarian and shared the same views against Christianity, much like the other revolutionaries. Okay, so now he's lumping them all in one boat. He said, well, it doesn't appear that John Adams was a member of a secret society, but he was a Unitarian. Unitarian, of course, is anti-Christian, and that's what most of the revolutionaries were also anti-Christian. Well, who were the other, quote, revolutionaries? Well, they're the same people who signed the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of the Confederation and the Constitution. Well, how many of these revolutionaries were Unitarians like John Adams? How many of them held the same view against Christianity like he did? Well, like I've mentioned earlier, you know, there's historical data you can look into to find out whether this guy's telling the truth or not. And I have a link to this page, which is about numbers and facts and historical totals. And it has the, like I said, it has a religious affiliation of all the signers of these three documents that founded our nation. And it has a list of all their affiliations and the total percentage of each and all that. And guess how many Unitarians there were out of the total of all three of those groups. There were a total of two Unitarians. Two. These are the revolutionaries that Mr. Pinto is referring to when he says that. Supposedly, these are the ones who, quote, shared the same views against Christianity as Jefferson, Paine, and Adams. See, as I said last week, John Quincy Adams was a son of John Adams, the one he's talking about here. And he was close enough to the events of the Revolution that his understanding of the principles of the Revolution are correct. And he said Thomas Paine completely departed from the principles of the Revolution. Now, did Paine depart from the anti-Christian principles of eternal reason or the European Enlightenment or Aristotle or Plato or eternal nature? Well, what principles did Paine depart from if not from the Christian principles of the Revolution? Pinto is a liar. He's spinning historical facts to suit his purposes. America was indeed founded on Christian principles by God-fearing people, most of whom were genuine believers. That doesn't mean every person was a Christian. But there was a Christian ethic that was part of the country and that was put into the government institutions and was promoted by all these men, even the ones who weren't actual Christians. See, it's Mr. Pinto who has been overtaken by the spirit of Antichrist as a result of focusing his life on conspiracies. And I want to give you a little friendly warning, a little piece of advice for those who are getting caught up in conspiracy theories. There's no doubt that there's a group or groups of people who are wicked, who are powerful, who have money, who are working behind the scenes to bring about a one-world government. There's no doubt about that. The problem is those groups not only control the money, they control the information that's being put out on the internet, and it's very easy to get caught up with information that's false. It's put out there on purpose to deceive people. Also, it's easy to get caught up in trying to figure out who these, you know, conspirators are and what they're going to do next. That can become your whole life. You can easily spend much of your day or much of your week looking up who's behind this and who's behind that. And is the Catholic Church this and the Catholic, and is the Zionist and is the bankers and all this. And you know what? You're going to find out at the end of the week you've been beholding the works of Satan that whole week. And be careful, because we become what we behold. We become what we're constantly watching with our eyes and constantly meditating on with our minds. I'm not saying we should be ignorant of what's going on. I'm saying it's a fine line that you can cross very easily and have yourself being conformed to the image of Antichrist instead of the image of Jesus Christ just through conspiracy information. We can get so caught up in watching the conspiracy and all the players behind the scene. Not only miss God, we miss the evils right in front of our face, right in front of our eyes. It's right about to overtake us. You know, the other day I uploaded that interview on my media share page by Reverend Manning and Avi Lipkin regarding the danger of Islam. And, of course, I was downloading that video from a site before I put it up there. And while I was downloading, I looked at some of the comments that people were posting and who watched that video. And the comments are incredible. I'll just give you examples. See, apparently, the people who watched that video, very few of them even got the message. They're so into conspiracy theories. I'm going to read you some of them, just a sample of them, okay? One guy said, what do the following have in common? They were responsible for the most savage attack on a U.S. naval vessel in history, aside from Pearl Harbor. They dressed up as Arabs and planted bombs in the Egyptian hotel, holding many U.S. diplomats and military. Their intelligence agency, along with the CIA and criminal elements within our government, ran 9/11. They stole and later sold our nuclear secrets to China. They were involved with the JFK assassination. Yep, you guessed it. All Israeli Jews or dual nationalists. So there's a black pastor interviewing a Jewish guy about the threat of Islam, and this guy says, oh, the Jews have brought everything. Islam is not a threat, it's the Jews. Okay, next one says, Fox News is controlled by Knight of Malta, Robert Murdoch, and used as a spy nest for British intelligence. Interesting how CNN is controlled by Knight of Malta, Ted Turner, and used as a spy nest for the CIA. The two leading media outlets run by crusaders are the Knights of Malta. Of course, that's Rome. Some guy watches this video about, you know, Islam. He says, oh, it's Rome. Rome's a problem. Another one says, remember that the Muslim Brotherhood were taken over by the British intelligence and handed to the Knights of Malta family, known as Dulles. The very family who had a member called Avery who was both a cardinal and a Jesuit. Not long after JFK attacked Alan Dulles, he was whacked. So the Muslim Brotherhood is now taken over by the British intelligence and the Knights of Malta. Another one says, who controls the Muslim Brotherhood? It's the House of Pavlovci, utilizing also the Knights of Malta, of which Felice Pavlovci is a Knight of Malta. Don't believe me? Do a Google search. His Islamic name is Sheikh Abd Walid. May I remind you that Zaghami told everyone that the world was to be made Muslim and Sharia law to be pushed on the world. Remember what Pike, that's Albert Pike, said, Zionism is and Islam will destroy themselves to bring about the New World Order. Okay, so now somebody's controlling both Zionism and Islam, and they're going to make them fight together until they destroy each other, put the planet in chaos, and then that's the New World Order comes. The other one says, you must realize that King Juan Carlos of Spain controls Israel. King Juan Carlos is the protector of the holy sites of Jerusalem and controls the whole Middle East, especially through the Union of the Mediterranean. Israel is also controlled through Carlos' web of the Council of Foreign Relations and also the Institute for Jewish Policy. All right, last one says, Zionism is a greater threat than Islam. It is Zionist bankers on Wall Street who have the U.S. and world economy by the, quote, something like, you know, and they're now squeezing the last bit of blood out of it. It's Zionists that ruin our society via the media. It's Zionists that dominate the Congress and White House. It was Zionists behind the attacks of 9/11. And who are treating the Palestinians like animals trapped in a cage? They make the Nazis look innocent by comparison. So here's a video trying to warn people about the dangers of Islam and the inroads Islam is making. And we have a Muslim president who's turned the country over to Islam. And these morons, all they can see is conspiracy. The Muslims are controlled by the Jews. The Muslims are controlled by the Pope. And the Muslims are controlled by Israeli intelligence. Even some of that stuff is true. They just totally ignored the facts were being presented to them. Does that sound familiar? I mean, it's the same kind of stuff you heard after 9/11, right? Conspiracy-centric people, they blame Bush. They blame Cheney. Blame the CIA, Israel, the Mossad, and Zionism in general. They blamed everyone but Muslim Arabs. And even when someone called the people's attention, kind of people, calls their attention to the fact that, hey, excuse me, it was Muslim, Islamic Arabs, not Jews, not Christians, not Americans, who flew those planes into the buildings, the answer they're going to give you is, well, you know, the Muslims only attacked us because we're exploiting them. Conspiracy people are always looking for the secret clue that's going to reveal who's behind this and who's behind that. Well, the Muslims who actually flew those planes in the Twin Towers, they were almost completely ignored. Islam and Islamic terror was ignored. Nobody blamed the Muslim Arabs or the Saudis who fund them. It's all America or the Israelis. I mean, that's what happens when you become conspiracy-centric. Your whole life becomes, you know, subsumed in plots and this and that. And who's behind this? And, you know, and there's always got to be a hidden reason for things to happen. You know, the guy who blows up a building, the guy who's got murders innocent civilians, well, he's never guilty. He's just a dupe, a puppet, a chump. It's the guy behind the scene, the one who's pulling the strings, that's guilty, you know, and everybody wants to find out who that guy is. He's the one everybody's looking for. And here's this guy going out murdering people night and day. He's walking around murdering people, and you're all looking for what's going on behind him. I mean, quite frankly, that's a stupid way to look at this world and the events that are falling right now. Muslims are conquering America. Right now they're conquering it. Now, when they chop off the head of these people who aren't Muslim, they don't become Muslim, conspiracy people, I wonder who they're going to blame. I wonder who's going to look for behind the sword of the guy who's about to chop their head off. Is he going to blame Britain, the Jews, the Pope? I mean, it's insane. This is what getting enveloped in conspiracy stuff can do to you. You can't see the evil that's about to overtake you right in front of your face. You're living in some kind of la-la land. And that's what happened to this guy, Pinto. He's part of a site. I don't know if you all remember the site. It was called The Cutting Edge. He's part of that site called The Cutting Edge. That's all conspiracy and Masons. That's all he lived for. The guy was head of the Cutting Edge Bay. He was a Secret Service man. He had like top secret high clearance for years. He was a military man. And they became a pastor, and they start to run this website. And the whole thing is just conspiracy. And who's behind this? And it's the popes. And one time they say Prince Edward or Prince whatever, Charles is the Antichrist. Next time they say somebody else is the Antichrist. It's just confusion, religious confusion. Keeps your mind off of Jesus. Conforms you to the image of the wrong Jesus, a counterfeit Christ, the second beast with the two horns. It makes it impossible to see the evil that's right about to overtake you. It's crazy what this stuff is doing to people. And that's what happened to this guy. All right, he got so subsumed in the culture of conspiracy-centric people. I mean, it's like the people now say the Jews are the Zionists or fault of everything. That's the way people get. This guy now is the Pope. For him, it's the Catholics. The Catholics, the Roman Catholic Jesuits, are behind everything. They're behind the creation of the United States. They're behind everything. And that's his take on the world. Okay, that's one of the ways they get that far going. They're just constantly beholding the evil. They're constantly beholding and looking at Satan's plans and what Satan's doing and what his people are doing. And you become what you behold. So it's not you shouldn't know what's going on or shouldn't see what's going on in the news, but don't spend too much time on it. Keep your eyes on Jesus and the kingdom and the things he's trying to do in your life to bring you forth in the image of Christ. Because if you end up like this guy, you're going to come forth in the image of the false Christ, the counterfeit Christ, the second beast. All right? Amen. I guess that's it. You guys have anything to share? Okay.
Hello, everyone. My name is Seth. Thought I'd share my testimony with everybody. So, here it goes. It started ever since I had left the church system in 1999. I had a religious spirit, even though I didn't know it at the time. I was 11 at the time and started reading my Bible, praying, listening to music, and reading the Bible with my family at night, thinking I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do. From that time on, that spirit made me think I was saved and serving the Lord, and all I had to do was live as best I could. However, the whole time, all I was doing was being turned into a hard-hearted person that thought men didn't cry and serving idols that I had in my life. This went on until in 2008, when we, my family and I, started to read and listened to Dan Mace, and I realized I wasn't good enough, or so that spirit told me. I was trying so hard to be religious that I thought I was walking in the high calling, since all I was doing was giving up, or all I was doing and giving up was so hard, when in truth I wasn't giving up anything on the inside. This went on until in 2010 we heard that a friend of Dan's was going to be passing close to where we lived and asked if he wanted to visit for a day, which he accepted, and by the end of the day pulled my dad aside to talk. For a week, my dad stayed away from the rest of us until Dan's friend came back and helped him leave for Pennsylvania. While my dad was there, I remember Mama Annabelle saying that some people were trying to walk in something that they couldn't until they had a firm foundation in Jesus Christ to build on. And I knew in my mind that it was me she was talking about. It wasn't until 3 weeks later when my dad came back home and said that none of us were saved that it finally was getting down to my heart that I wasn't saved. That night I asked him point blank if I was saved because I thought I was back in 1999, and he said, "If you were saved, you have since lost your salvation and are serving a religious spirit and idols." For the first time when he said that, my heart was softened and I was finally broken before the Lord and cried, asking Jesus to forgive me for listening to that spirit for so long and serving all the idols that I had. The next day was August 18th, and I was baptized and made a commitment to truly start trying to die to self. I am now living here in Pennsylvania, wanting to learn and move closer to the Lord. That was all I had to share, and I'll give it back to Dan. Thanks.
God bless you, Seth. That was good. Amen. Thanks for sharing that, Seth. It's good testimony. The Lord's good. Anybody have anything to share or add to that or anything? Looks like Kim. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic. You got your hand up?
Okay. Seth, that was a really good testimony. Dan, thank you for the excellent messages this week and last week as always. I was feeling very uncomfortable during the program last week, and I didn't really know why. I was tired and irritated. Then, toward the end of the message, I started to realize that I had been told all those lies as a teenager and young adult about the Founding Fathers being Masons and Illuminati, and I had never really renounced them. I realized there was a spirit aroused in me that did not like what you were saying. Once I realized that, I told Jesus that I still believe those lies without fully realizing it. So I renounced those lies and acknowledged that what you were saying was true. Then all at once that awful feeling lifted and I felt free again. I remember in elementary school, I used to get excited when we sang patriotic songs. I loved saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and singing the national anthem. I cannot fully describe the feeling I had then, but it was like being part of something great. There is no doubt that Christians founded this country and that Satan has been trying ever since to cover up that truth. And that's all.
Amen. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. I never knew you were into that stuff. My word. Okay. Well, I'm glad you got delivered. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, wait a minute. Looks like Mama wants to share something. She's on her way. So we'll just hang on a second here. She's in the other room.
Hi, everyone. I feel I want to share something. Daniel brought this up about what's happening to people's hearts right now and what they're believing. You know, we've been having studies in the book of Revelation, and this week we studied the book of the chapter 13 and 14 of Revelation, and the Lord made something so very real to me through those chapters, that in the 13th chapter, this beast that everyone worships, the first beast, the second beast that came forth with like a lamb, is very subtle. And it says that he caused the people to make a statue, to make an image onto the first beast. Now, I always thought that he made that image. But it says that he caused the people to make an image. He caused the people to believe in this image and to come forth in the image of the beast, who is Satan. So in the 13th chapter, he's talking about a group of people. At the end time, he's trying to give a picture to John that at the end time, there'll be a group of people that will come forth in the image of Satan. And in the 14th chapter, he talks about the 144,000. And that's a group of people in the last days that are being conformed to the image of Jesus. And this was very, very real to me. That there's two groups coming forth right now. One's coming forth in the image of Satan in the 13th chapter of Revelation, if you want to read it. And one's coming forth in the image of Jesus, the 144,000. And that's referring to people that are living in the last generation. Now, the 144,000 doesn't refer to everyone that came into that, the image of Jesus, but just the group that the Holy Spirit is bringing forth right now, which we know this is the end time. And there is a group of people that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring forth into the image of Jesus. And that's why he's teaching us to die to self and to come forth in a new, to die to the old man and come forth in a new man because of these two groups. I'm so glad that I'm in the group that I'm, that even though I pray I make it, but if I don't, I know that I'm endeavoring to make it. And I know that right now I'm in that group that's endeavoring to be conformed to the image of Jesus in the 14th chapter of Revelation. And I know that there's a group like Danny's talking about tonight, that's coming forth in the image of Satan. And I just thank Jesus. I thank him for his word. I thank him for revealing these truths to us. And I just praise him. And then he talks about that same chapter 14. He talks about the one that looks like unto the Son of Man that goes forth and reaps. And the angels that reap. The bad people. So that it's harvest time. And God's going to start reaping when that beast, those people that worship the beast and are conformed to the image of Satan, when they come to the fullness of iniquity, there'll be another group that are coming forth to the fullness of holiness in Jesus Christ. And that's when God reaps the earth and his judgment. So be sure you're in the right group. Just be sure you're in the right group. And that's about it. Shalom.
Alrighty. Thank you. That was a good word, Mom. Very true. Anybody else anything to share or add or comment? Okay, well, I guess that's it for tonight then. If anybody has anything, we'll shut her down. Thanks for coming. And I guess we'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.